For those of you who weren't here the last couple of weeks, we started a series on being steadfast, and the title of it was Being Steadfast Till the End. And just a quick review, being steadfast is to be an immovable object. And standing immovable, meaning like standing in your faith. I won't be swayed left or right. I'm not like a piece of wheat or tare, you know, just where it just kind of like vacillates in the wind. I'm firm and I'm immovable because I've found my faith in Christ. And that's being steadfast till the end. The opening text, we've used it every week, is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 through 58. And it says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we come boldly into your throne room right now. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you block out all the distractions, the clutter in our mind, the things that we dealt with in the past week, our shortcomings, Father, that we just get right in line with you right now, that you speak to our hearts, that we receive this, Lord, that we be changed inside, not on the outside, but on the inside. Let your Spirit work through us. Give me words to speak, only your words, Father. Don't let me get in the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where we went with this journey so far as being steadfast, we started really with in the church, and we talked about the signs of the times in which we live, where people would be lovers of themselves, and within the church, that the church, not everybody is of the church that's in the church. Okay? And then last week, we talked about the deception that is coming from the pulpits today. And primarily, this is the church in America that has become very lukewarm. Very lukewarm. You don't hear a teaching of the true gospel. There's a gospel of accommodation is what we talked about last week. And if you haven't heard that, I don't want to rehash last week's sermon, so you can go and listen to it online to catch up. But it is important to understand that you can't just take, just because someone stands from the pulpit and says, "Thus saith the Lord," does not mean it's true. You must put them to the test. The things that I say, don't take it just for my words. Read it yourself. It's in here. Yeah, that's right. If any man other does not preach the gospel, it says, let him be accursed. They will give an account for deceiving many. But for you, you child of God, you are to remain steadfast. You are to study to show yourself approved and rightly divide the word of truth. So when I say things, you should be able to know that is truth or that is not truth. Yeah. You should have a heart of discernment to understand that. And I know as a Christian, and we talked about last week where we're going with this, and in today's service, we're going to be talking about hardship. Being steadfast means you're going to endure hardship. You will endure hardship. Things will come against you. Tribulation, suffering, those things will happen. And the reason is, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in you, brethren, that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." And I liked going in the New Living Translation just to go back through the scripture. Is stay alert. Amen. Stay alert. You have to be ready. Be on guard. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He wants to devour you. See, you made a commitment to Christ. You accepted him as Savior. That means Satan lost you, and he wants you back. He wants you to be, he wants you in the world. And yet you were called to be set apart. It says, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. I remember Mike yesterday led off the study yesterday in the kingdom of God, and he went in and he read in Acts, and then he took it into Ephesians, and he said, put on the whole armor of God. When you put on the armor of God, you can stand. You can stand. It doesn't matter what will come against you. The devil can shoot all his fiery darts he wants. You have armor protecting you. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus through the cross, through his shed blood. So after you have suffered a while, that doesn't say you're not going to suffer. It says you will. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. What was one of the scriptures we talked about the very first week? And on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, upon the rock, the foundation, build a house upon rock, not on sand, that when the storm comes, it gets swept away. Build your house on a rock, a firm foundation. That is Jesus Christ. That is him crucified on the cross where his blood was shed, that we may have power through him, his Holy Spirit flowing through us. Jesus warned us in Matthew 10:22. He said, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You don't hear that today in the pulpit. You don't hear them talking about, at least not here. I do know that that's happening overseas. You will suffer for his name's sake. The false gospel is come to Jesus, everything will be great. You'll get health, wealth, and luxury. Not you, child. Be steadfast in the truth that you've learned. You've been taught as a child of God. I heard a minister talk about the persecuted church in China. And when he met with one of the pastors of the underground church, he was talking about the five tenets of their faith. And the fifth one, which really knocked this pastor backwards, was said that we embrace suffering for the glory of God. Our brothers and sisters overseas, their government does not allow them to worship God in the way that you get to worship God in this church. They dictate, they have a governmental church, they dictate what the message is. And it's not Christ crucified. It's not Christ in the cross. It's not be holy. It's political. But the underground church, the true church, they suffer for his name's sake. They are steadfast to the end. It doesn't matter what comes my way, I will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. The bulk of the text we're going to go into, I want you to turn in your Bibles. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, you will suffer for his name's sake. We talked about the false gospel. You're about to hear what the real gospel says. This is Peter, one of the disciples. Jesus is number one, his lieutenant. You guys all there? 1 Peter chapter 4, the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle. For as much then as Christ hath suffered. He's talking to you guys, church. He's talking to us. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. And I want to go right there. Right in the beginning, Peter says, arm yourself. That's a military term. Arm yourself with the same mind. Be prepared. Suffering is going to come. When you go to battle, you arm yourself to go to battle, do you not? You don't just go in there like, I'm not going to bring anything. Our military, They put on armor. They put on bulletproof vests. They have their weapons when they know they're going out. Are you ready? Are you arming yourself as you go out? See, if you're going to go out and you are going to be bold in preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel with those who don't know, you will suffer affliction. But if you are armed with the same like mind, see, Christ Jesus suffered. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And he was prepared to suffer. He knew his purpose. It was to go to that cross and suffer for us. For he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live for the rest of his time in the flesh in the lust of men, but to the will of God. See, we are called to the will of God. His will. That's why as I was talking when we were praising and worshiping, it's his will. His will. Ours was died. It was crucified at the cross. When you accepted Jesus, you were baptized into his death. Your old self is gone. You were raised up as a new being in Christ. That's right, brother. His blood cleansed you from all sin. So now I am no longer a slave to my sin and my sin nature. I'm a slave to righteousness. I desire what God's will is, his way of doing things. If you don't know, you will have an opportunity to know today. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, which is shamelessness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Go back there. It says, for the time past of our life may suffice. That time has already come. See, when you came to Christ, those things are behind you. I press forward to him now. I move forward in him. That is in the past. That time has sufficed. I've had enough. I've had enough of the sin life. I've had enough. It doesn't arouse me anymore. I don't want it. I'm a slave to righteousness. I am not like that pig we talked about that gets cleaned off and wants to go back to the mud. That mud is sin. That's what it's envisioning, going back to the mud. Those who knew the truth and turned around and went back into the world. So it sufficed that time has already come. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who is he talking about here? He's talking about those in the past, your old acquaintances. They don't understand it. They don't get it. Like, why? What is different about you? Why did you change? Your family members, right? Peculiar. We talked about with one of our brothers yesterday how his daughter just said, yeah, you know, You're getting old. The gospel's not real. It's not true. You're just worried about your future. No, he's changed. He's a changed man in Christ. He's a new creation. That's what the power of the blood does. We are new. He told Nicodemus that you must be born again. And when you're born again, you are a new creation in him, in Christ. Speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him, in verse 5, that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. That's why we sang that song today, Welcome Holy Spirit. That's a miracle. You are a living miracle when you've accepted Christ. Salvation is a miracle. Each and every one of us are a miracle. Yes, healing and all those things are awesome, but salvation in itself is a miracle. Yeah. God actually puts his Spirit in you when you come to Christ. Amen. He says, I put my Spirit in you. That's the new heart that you are given. You are a new heart. You are a new creation. You seek after him. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So he's warning you, the end of all things are near. And be sober. That means you got to understand, what was the scripture we just talked about? Be sober, be vigilant. The devil is seeking whom he may devour. And watch under prayer. The purpose here is prayer. I was talking to Brother Ed yesterday when we left, and we just said our prayer, we need to be more in prayer. Amen. Each and every one of us, we are called. Prayer is communication with God. We get it so wrong in the church that we look at prayer as just a means to an end of just asking God to supply. Yes, God, I want this. God, I want this. I heard someone talk about prayer, and he formed it in the form of Acts 1. And he broke it down. He said, coming first in adoration, adoring him for who he is, exalting him. He is the King above all kings. He is the Creator of all things. Confession. Confessing those things that we've done wrong. Thankfulness. Thanking him for what he's done. Seeking. Then you can seek and ask him for things to supply your needs. Supplying. And then one, which was as a Roman numeral, intercession. We are to pray and be intercessors. We prayed for our dear brother yesterday that the Holy Spirit strengthen him, give him wisdom, discernment to share with his family members. I pray every night with my wife for this church that the Holy Spirit empower you, that you surrender, that you be strengthened and be bold for the times at which we live. Because suffering will come upon you when you are bold. When you are truly living for Christ and you want to share, you are burdened to share his gospel. Share the love that we've been given. We have been given so much. We should be giving much to the world. Don't hold it in. It's not some secret. You're just going to hold it. Look for opportunity to share it. Prayer is not a one-sided monologue of here's what I need from you, God. Are you praying and are you seeking? Are you praying without cease? Are you praying for your loved ones that don't know him? Are you praying to be used of him? Are you praying for the Holy Spirit to lead you and take control of you? And above all things, brethren, have fervent charity, which is love among yourselves. For love shall cover the multitude of sins. God's love, we talked about on Easter, agape love, sacrificial love, unearned love. Unordinary love covers a multitude of sins. It covered my sin. It was covered. It was washed away. My sin, my trespasses. Remember, we were perpetrators of the cross, all of us. Our sin caused Christ to step down from glory, to become man, to be crucified on a cross for our sin. For your sin. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's what I was just saying. Don't put it under a bushel. Don't keep this grace and salvation message for yourself. Share it. You're commanded, the Great Commission. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak with the word of God. There's too many pastors that stand in a pulpit and they talk all about themselves or what they're doing or this is what their project is. And they're not talking about truth. They're not using the word of God. It says right here, speak as the oracles of God. The oracles of God. This is the word of God. It's living. There's a height, a depth, a breadth, a width to this word. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God gives. I didn't go to seminary. I'm not a doctor. I didn't write any books. I sat under my dad's teaching. But I love this word. I love getting into it. I have a changed heart. I have been changed forevermore. It took my dad's passing for me to really get a hold of this, but I need this. I need this word. I need the Holy Spirit. I can't stand before you and put together sermons like that. I'm not that gifted. It takes the Holy Spirit and seeking Him. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's why when I pray, I'm so worried about myself getting in the way of talking. I want Him to be glorified. It's Him. That's what the message is. It'll be that way until the very end, until God calls me home, and if someone else stands in this pulpit, or if God returns, when Jesus comes in the clouds, blows that trumpet. We are going to be steadfast in this church till the end. And many, if it happens that we just stay small numbers, or if people don't like it and they need to go away, so be it. Then we'll be a holy remnant, those who remain. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. We glorify Him in everything we do, every day. Not just Sunday, every day. Even in our work, you can glorify God. You can find ways to glorify Him. Even in doing your work. If you ask Him, if you pray, you can be, Joe, you can glorify God in what you do. Katie and I know we're constantly looking for opportunities in our workplace to share. Share little truths. Not hit them over the head with the gospel, but in love, just little notes here and there. And when you hear something that's off, correct it. Be an example.
Amen.
Be an example. You can find things. Brian, in what you do, in your work, the hotel and at Jewel, you can find ways to glorify God. I love this next scripture in verse 12. You guys following me so far? Are you guys with me? Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. I love that. Like the fiery trial. This is war. You don't go into war and stand between two sides and be like, why is everyone shooting? What's going on? No, it's war. It's not strange. We're talking about suffering. Yes, when you're bold, when you share with your family and loved ones, they're not all going to say, hey, that's great. I want Jesus. I'll accept it. I thank God that you did, Mike and Rosie. I thank Him. The fiery trial, some people believe that this was written at the time of Nero, and I heard a minister talk about this, that the Emperor Nero of Rome would actually take Christians and pour them with oil and light them on fire for his own garden. Just for believing in Christ, light them on fire. Just for believing in Christ, marking a house with a Muslim sign of N, beheading people. That's suffering. Wow. But rejoice that as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you will be glad also with exceeding joy. When He returns, you are going to be glad. You will be proud for that which you have suffered. For His name's sake, you have to make sacrifices to live the life that He has called. It's not all roses. And if any man teaches you that, he's leading you astray. It's not all bed and roses. If you be reproached, this is reviled or defamed for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. See, when you suffer, you might lose status with somebody. They might think you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But you glorify Him. See, we're not to care what the world thinks. We're to care what He thinks. The world will tell you how to live. The world will say that you're wrong. You don't understand it. The Bible's not real. But you have been given the truth. So you know on your inner man, you know what is real. Be steadfast. Be strong. Stand firm in your faith. Stay alert. You know those things are going to happen. You know those things are going to happen. You know when you speak the gospel, not everyone's going to receive you with warm, welcoming arms. Hugs aren't going to be given at every corner. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf, on this behalf. See, when you suffer, you get excited, for great is your reward in heaven. You are doing everything within your power to glorify Him. But the big key here is surrendering to Him. It's not suffering because of the poor choices you've made of sin. There is you do reap what you sow. That is true. And if you sow sin, you will reap a harvest of sin in your life and destruction. The wages of sin is death. But if you suffer for His name's sake, because you're doing His will, the heavens are shaken and saying, "Well done. Well done, Katie. Well done, you stood up. Tony." Right? Am I right? Is it Tony? Todd. Todd, I'm sorry. Todd. Well done. Do you guys understand the importance of this? Amen. To be bold. Bold. Paul was bold. "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." That happens first. It begins first with us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. We're talking about suffering. You will be persecuted. You are going to endure temptation. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, constantly by Satan. Yet He used the Word of God to push back against Him. That's why you have to be in this Word. If you're not daily, you're not learning. You're not growing. I encourage you, if you're not picking up your Bible, even if you have to start with just a scripture a day, do it. It'll change your life. It'll impact you. When you read it, just take time. Block out the distractions. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Turn off the computer. Just get in His Word. I promise you, it will change you. Amen. It's like you read a scripture, and if you pray beforehand, say, "Lord, what do you have for me today?" And you'll open up a scripture, and you'll read it, and it'll minister to you. It'll root you in Him. And if you do that before your day starts, you will walk. You will walk seeking Him. It'll change you, your day, that whatever happens throughout you, you know, like this Word, it's okay. It's okay. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." And I love that scripture. It says being tried. Do you guys know what a silversmith does? So what does a silversmith do when he makes silver? He takes the silver and he puts it into a pot. And that pot gets super, super hot. And it melts. It melts that silver. And then what happens is the infirmities rise to the top. Then the silver scoops out the top of the infirmities, and he heats it back up again. So the infirmities rise again, and he scoops it away. So when does the silversmith know he's done? He knows when he's done, when he looks down upon it and he can see his reflection in it. Do you get that? Amen. God is the silversmith. He's heating you. He's trying you. He's scooping out the infirmities. So when he looks down, when he's achieved his goal and he's accomplished his purpose, he looks down and he sees his reflection on you. You are a reflection of him. How awesome is that?
Hallelujah.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The silversmith. The silversmith. Being tried. You can be tried. Suffer for his name's sake. Be steadfast. James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And that's where I want to go to, examples of steadfastness. Job 23:11 says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined." See, the devil took everything from Job. Everything. His health, his family, everything. But Job said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." He was steadfast throughout it all. Moses, Hebrews 11:23-29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I love this. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, he made a choice. A choice. This life is a vapor. This life is just a season. You make a choice. Do you serve yourself or do you serve the God who created it all? By faith, Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. He endured. He didn't care what the king's orders were. He said, "No. I'm gonna follow God. This is what God told me to do." Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. Hallelujah, the blood. There's power in that blood.
Amen.
Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to were to be drowned. How you guys doing? You guys still with me? You still with me? Moses, steadfast. Turn over to Daniel chapter 3. And I'm sorry, I just got to keep going. The Lord is working here. And if you haven't read the story, it's of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I love it. And we're going to pick it up in verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" This is the world. That's an example of the world. "Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" He said, "Worship me." That's what Satan is saying to you. Worship me.
Amen.
He tempted Christ in the wilderness to worship him. and I'll give you all the kingdoms. No. He was tempted not. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, I love this, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They had no reservation to respond. They were quick to respond. We were not careful on our words. See, when you stand before the authorities, the scripture says the Holy Spirit gives you the utterance. Amen. He gives you the words to speak. This is so awesome. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what the outcome was. This was the choice we made. I am going to serve God and God alone. It doesn't matter what comes away. Yes, he can deliver me, and if he chooses not to, I will still serve him regardless. Amen. That is awesome. That is an example of being steadfast. What is steadfast? An immovable object. They were immovable. It didn't matter. They had death right in their face. They had a choice. They could have cowered and worshipped and had their life. Maybe a couple weeks, maybe years, another 20 years, 30 years, right? This life is just a vapor. You know not when you will breathe your last breath. I've said, stand in the pulpit and said that many times. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army. It took his most mighty men to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them in the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, and their hats. These mighty men prepared themselves as they bound them to get ready to throw these three Hebrews into the furnace. And because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The soldiers, the mightiest warriors he had, were consumed in the fire. The mightiest warriors on earth, when Jesus returns, are going to be consumed in fire. Amen. He is going to consume it all. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They didn't fall down because they were thrown down. They fell down, and I believe they fell down in worship. Amen. We're not going to stand. We are going to stand in you, Father. We worship you. You are mighty. Mighty is he. Hallelujah. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and he spoke, and he said unto his counselors, didn't we cast three men into the fire? And they answered the king and said, true, O king. Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The Holy Spirit was right there amongst them. That is Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. It comes. When you glorify him in being steadfast, the Holy Spirit is there. He's there to comfort you. He's here to strengthen you. In the midst of your fiery trials, this is one fiery trial. And what was the result? Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come out. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. What a sight that had to have been. And listen to this. The princes, the governors and captains and king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Not a scent of even smoke. Have you sat around a fire pit before? You feel the heat? That's where I lost all my hair. the smoke. You know, when you go home and get changed, you take off that shirt or whatever, it smells like smoke. Not here. Nope. That didn't happen. So they were astonished. But I thought that was cool because it says the princes and governors, this is like the world, like these authorities. They saw the power of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's words and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. And their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Folks, in being steadfast, God was glorified. That was all God. They glorified God. They made a choice. They made a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Do you want to serve mammon? You want to serve yourself? Or do you want to serve the God who sees you through the fiery trials? Amen. So no fire can singe the hair on your head. You have that choice. Bow your heads. I had so much more. I guess we'll have to continue. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you for lifting the spirits of some. I believe that you sent people in here today. Their hearts were troubled, but your words were words of comfort. To lift them up, to encourage them, to be courageous, to stand against the wiles of the devil, Father. We love you, Lord. We exalt you. You are the King above all kings, the Lord above all lords. Is there anyone here that doesn't know the Lord personally? And you want to make that commitment today? I promise you, your life will be changed forevermore if you don't know him. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Knowing that we're all believers then, how many of you would admit that you've wavered a little? The Lord knows your heart. He knows you want to change. He knows. He's looking to raise an army. He's looking for a few good soldiers. Would you guys please stand up, everybody? Let's pray this prayer together. And for you specifically who raised your hand, Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I am sorry for what I have done and how I have lived. I don't want to be lukewarm anymore. Change me on the inside. Give me your Holy Spirit, Father, inside of me. Make me bold and strong in you, for you are mighty. Help me to be steadfast in everything I do till the end. Change me. Encourage me. Help me to seek your way. I thank you, Father, for the change that's going to take place right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.